Master Tillery and Pastor Dorn Tillery's daughter, Nakia Scott. That's NYKEA, Nakia Scott. Written, produced, and sang by Nakia Scott. She is, you know, anointed. The Lord blessed her to sing that song. And if you don't have your own personal copy, you can download it over at CDBaby.com or iTunes or Amazon, wherever you get your music. I'm sure that you can pick up your own personal download of that song. I love that song. It just it did something to me today just to hear it, because I've been in a praising mood. Amen. Hallelujah. So I welcome you this morning, this afternoon, to the Woman to Woman to Man show. Welcome you. God bless you. God is good and worthy to be praised. I pray you're having a blessed day. I pray that you are having a blessed day. We're going to start the show. This is a call-in forum, so we're going to be opening up the phone lines. I want to invite you to come to our women's conference. Listen, women, if you have not already marked your calendars, go ahead and mark your calendar so that you can take part of our upcoming women's conference, Women Power Warriors on the Front Line. Warriors, if you've been in a battle, if you're in a battle and you know you are already more than a conqueror, or even if you don't know that you are more than a conqueror, you need to come over to this conference. It starts Friday night, and it's going to end on that Sunday morning. We are excited about what God is going to do through this conference. There is no registration fee. If you want to register, you can send me an email at power1@yahoo.com. That's power in the word, the number one, at yahoo.com. I have to fix the registration link on the website, but I want you to come. And even if you don't get a chance to register, just come. And it's going to be held at our church, New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Listen, God is going to move in your life on that weekend. I speak that prophetically. I declare a decree over your life that God is going to move in your life. Come for the whole weekend. Don't just come for Friday or Saturday. We need you to come for the whole weekend in order for you to get the whole, everything that God has for you. Even if you can come on Sunday, I know you might have a church home. See if your pastor will excuse you. And if not, just go to church. Go to your church, because I'm a pastor and I like to see my people on Sunday morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to get started. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to get started. I'm bringing Pastor Anthony on the line. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. You're on the line.
Amen. It's good to be here today. We thank God for those of you listening. I thank God for the opportunity to be here, honey, with you tag teaming. And hallelujah. It's just a wonderful time to be on the Lord's side. I know a lot is going on. People have a lot of opinions about the church and the world and what God is doing in this hour. But although there's demonic activity everywhere, we know we already got the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And we ought to get excited about that alone, knowing that we know how the story ends. But
yes.
Pastor, there's something in my spirit today, coming from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was speaking, because I believe that you talked about it sometimes this week. You talked about the spirit of discouragement. And I just sensed that in my spirit, that sometimes when our expectations are not met, or we seem to, like Habakkuk said, not to tarry, although many of us have been tarrying and waiting for God to manifest what he promised us, sometimes I sense the spirit of discouragement, or people just losing faith and just that tenacity and fervor that they used to have for the things of God. And he took me to the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to read this before we get started today, and I want to talk about some of the points that Jesus brought out as he was teaching the multitudes. This began his earthly ministry. He was teaching the multitudes. And in that seventh verse, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find." It goes on to say, "Knock, and the door will be open to you." And I love the way the New International Version of Bible writes it, this next verse. It says, "For everyone who asks," and there's an S at the end of that word, meaning to keep asking, "receives. He who seeks," again, plural, "finds. And to him who knocks," again, plural, the door will be open. Then Jesus goes on to close out this particular text. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those of us who ask him? We're going to God asking. So in everything, the Bible says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the prophet and the laws. And Jesus just closed that text out, said, so whatever you do, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we're hearing this word thrown around in our culture and our society today called karma. And a lot of the religions, Hinduism and Buddhism and, Confucianism and even parts of Judaism speaks that in a negative way, meaning when you do something bad to somebody, something's bad going to happen back to you. But Jesus, in this particular text, talks about it in a good way. You know, when you treat people good, treat people like you want to be treated, is what he was saying. And when we do that, we begin to open the door for asking, seeking, knocking. And he says, when you ask, it's going to be given to us, meaning to keep asking, keep praying, keep going to God, seeking. You got to keep seeking. When the door is closed in your face, you got to keep going for it. And there are many doors. I'm 49 years of age, but many doors have been closed in my face in my lifetime, and we still have the ability to move forward. And that takes a person who is spiritual knowing that God has an open door for you. So when you keep seeking, as the Bible says, Pastor in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's an endless search. We got to keep going after the things of God. And then he says, knock, or continue to knock, and the door will be open to you. Keep writing books. Keep putting forth your vision and your mission statement and your business plan. Keep trying to get that house, and keep trying to excel to a better job, a greater income. Keep getting more education. Keep doing the things that's going to better and edify and enrich your own life. And too many of us as believers give up, and God has so much on the other side of us giving up that he's looking down from heaven as Jesus is interceding and praying for us. He's looking down praying that we continue, praying that the enemy doesn't stop us, praying that we have enough God in us to run on to see Philippians 1:6 come to pass in our lives, which says, he who has begun a good work in you. That means, I'm getting happy already. That means when Jesus touched our lives, if you are a Christian today, Jesus touched you. God touched you. Now the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in your life. When that happened, you got the beginning stages of the work being done on your life, and it's not complete. So where you are in this moment is not over. God is showing you, I told our church the other day, Pastor, God is showing some people a six-figure income, and right now they're making minimum wage at a job. Yes. And the devil tries to lie to us, saying we'll never get to a place in God that he showed us, but the devil is still a liar.
Mm. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. The devil is a liar. And, you know, and that's just so important that we remember that the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He was a liar in the Garden of Eden when he deceived Eve, and he's still a liar. You know, he was a liar when he met Jesus coming out of the wilderness, in the wilderness when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness those 40 days. The devil is a liar. He was a liar when he told you that you would never be anything. He has always been, and he will continue to be a liar. See, it's the devil's job to lie to us, to try to stop us from moving forward, to do, be, and have all that God has called us to do, be, and have. See, the devil's job is to stop us. See, when you, especially for those of you, Pastor, you started talking about he started off talking about discouragement. And it's just so important that we realize that the fight that we're in today has one goal and purpose, and that's to discourage us, to discourage. And when you think about that word, the Lord gave me a spiritual definition of the word discouragement, which means to take away your courage. See, to take away your courage. The devil wants to take away your courage. He wants to take away your fervor. He wants to take away your zeal. He wants to take away your stamina. You know, that thing that God put on the inside of you, that dunamis power that God put on the inside of you that propels you to move forward, to do everything that you know God is telling you to do, to have the victory in every single area of your life so that God can get the glory. See, the devil does not want God to get the glory in our lives. And we have to realize that the devil wants to discourage us. He wants to take away our courage, because if he can take away our courage, then he can stop us from moving forward. See, if the devil can stop you from moving forward, then there's nothing going on. Ain't nothing going on as long as you're not moving. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And the devil knows that if he can stop you from working for the Lord, if he can stop you from living your life in holiness, and that's working for the Lord. Somebody needs to hear me today. Living your life in holiness is working for the Lord. See, your call is not always about you being behind the pulpit. Your call is to give God glory. You've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light so that God can get the glory in your life. And I know that I'm taking that very personally. Pastor, you know the devil tried to kill me. I know what it feels like to have dodged some bullets. Amen, some bullets in the spirit. Where you know, maybe a few even clipped me. I feel like I've been shot. You know, I have felt like I've been shot. I felt like I was in intensive care, ICU, amen. They had to rush me to the emergency room in the spirit realm, and God took good care of me. Listen, don't be discouraged no matter where you are. Some of you are feeling deflated. Some of you are feeling weak in the spirit. Some of you are feeling like you can't make it, that you can't go forward, that you can't keep going at the rate that you've been going. But I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. You can make it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. You can keep serving God. You can keep going to church. You can keep tithing. You can keep studying your word. You can do it. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due season, you're going to reap a harvest if you faint not. But if you give up, guess what? You get nothing. As a matter of fact, you go back to the starting line. You go back to where you started off from, and you got to start all over again. So it's no time to have to start over again. It's no time to throw in the towel. It's no time to give in to temptation. Come on, the devil is on your track. The devil wants to stop you. He wants to break up that marriage. The devil wants to get you to start confessing negativity out of your mouth. The devil wants you to lay down and quit. But I'm here to tell you that you can't quit. I'm not going to let you quit. Pastor, we're not going to let our listeners quit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. You're so in the spirit, and you're so on point. Somebody's listening today, and somebody will listen to the archives, and this word is for them because this word is for us. It's amazing that you talked about that, Pastor. I have a buddy of mine. He's from Trinidad, and he always quotes this saying, "Who ain't dead is badly wounded." And he would say that in his Trinidadian accent. It sounds so funny, and that thing stays in my head. Who ain't dead is badly wounded, and I'd still rather be badly wounded than to be dead. So, you know, sometimes, as you said, sometimes we're wounded by the enemy, we're hurt by the enemy. Sometimes the church hurt thing is realer than we realize. But it's amazing, as I just started out with this text talking about asking and seeking and knocking, our pastor Jesus talked out with the Beatitudes saying how we're blessed. And then as he continues to preach the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about how we shouldn't judge people, judge not. in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about how we shouldn't worry about tomorrow or don't worry. And he goes on to talk about love your enemies. Then after this particular text that I read today, listen to what he goes on to discuss. A good tree versus a bad tree.
Oh.
What we do with our saved lives. What are we going to produce? What are we going to bear? How are we going to be productive? He talks about the wise and foolish builder. Again, how are we going to build our marriage? How are we going to build our ministry? How are we going to move forward? Are we going to still be fools like we was in the world? And then he goes on to talk about, as you talked about, holiness is always right, but he talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. Right after the scripture that I read, meaning that sometimes when you are discouraged, the tendency is to go back to that wide gate that many are on. You know, because discouragement will take you back. You'll turn the GPS unit around, and you'll get right back to drinking, going back to the club, looking for a lover that feel good, 5-minute sensation, and God has better for you. I heard a preacher the other day, the world is so predictable. You and I came from the clubs. We came from drinking and drugging. And sometimes when you wake up with the hangover and said, I had such a good time, that is so predictable. If I drink too much, I'm going to wake up throwing up and sick, and you're telling me that's a good life? The devil is a liar. If I use too many drugs, chances are my brain cells and my full capacity of my mind is not going to operate, and you're telling me that's having a good time? The devil is a liar. And HIV, AIDS, and unwanted pregnancies is all out there with that ungodly sex, and the world continues to lie to us. They're so predictable. But yet, when you are discouraged, you'll be amazed what you get yourself into.
Wow. Well, amen. I can attest to that. I want to, you know, just thank God for people who were in my emergency room. Amen. Ray and Kathy Jones, my God. They didn't even know when we went to dinner. They took us to dinner for our birthday, Pastor, and a couple of weeks ago, and we just had such a good time, and we met another couple there, and it was just a blessing, I believe Walt and Patricia were their names, and their daughter, Monica, and it was just a blessing just to be sitting at a dinner table and be in the company of other saints. And just sharpening each other, because iron sharpens iron, but not with a whole bunch of religiosity, you know, amen. We were just sitting there being ourselves, and we were able to just enjoy ourselves and have a good time. So I thank God for Ray and Kathy Jones. But then right after that, Kathy and I went out and went over to the church and heard Pastor Cheryl Brady. So I thank God for Pastor Cheryl Brady and the word that she preached. Things just happened that began to resuscitate my soul, you know. And Sister Kamala, Kathy and I went out to a diner afterwards, and we didn't get home. And so I think I got home like 2:30, almost 3 o'clock. Last Saturday morning, after being out with my sisters, you know, just breaking bread and talking, and then Kathy and I we just went for it on and met again on Tuesday, and I'm telling you, I thank God for girlfriends, you know, and real friends, you know, people that you can, that love you anyway, that love you no matter where how high you go or how low you go, people that you can be real with, people that you, the confidence, people that you can share with, people that you can, you know, take off your weave, you know, kick back and take off your shoes and expose your coins and, you know, just people that you can just open up and share stuff with that you would never share with others, that people who would not know how to treat you if they really knew some of the struggles or some of the challenges that you face in this race called life. So I thank God for the people who were in the ER with me. And also last night we went out with Pastor Malloyas and Pastor Ross and some more pastors. And, again, God has constantly been resuscitating me. I'm talking personally, because I know what it's like to get to that place called discouragement, where the devil wants you to get lukewarm. Kathy and I talked about being lukewarm, and be careful of that that place called discouragement or that place called lukewarm, because God does not like a lukewarm Christian. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And sometimes the trials of life and the challenges of life can get you to a point where you're lukewarm. You're not running after God, but you're so busy trying to solve life's problems and trying to face up to life's challenges that you lose that zeal. And God dealt with me. He began to speak to me and minister to me. And I also thank God for the preachers who put their sermons on YouTube, Bishop T.D. Jakes and Pastor Cheryl Brady and Pastor Moore. I was sharing with you Pastor Kimberly Moore. My God, these people, I mean, just listening to that word helped me so much. And that's what I'm saying. For somebody out there, and we're going to open in the phone lines, but for somebody out there who feels like you're in the emergency room, who feels like you need to go into the ICU, the spiritual intensive care unit, who feels like you're lukewarm, there's a remedy that God gave me, and I want to share that remedy with you. The remedy is pray more, read your word more, and listen to the word more. And the final thing is get around some people that can help to give you spirit-to-spirit resuscitation. You know how we get mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? You need somebody that can give you spirit-to-spirit resuscitation. So that's why I told that whole story about the last week and the people that I've been with and the people who have resuscitated me in the spiritual realm. Amen. Hallelujah. So you've got to pray more, read your Bible more, listen to your word more, and get around people that can give you spirit-to-spirit resuscitation. Listen to programs like this, amen, where we are speaking about God's power, about God's potential, about God's word, about God's purpose, amen, where we're exhorting you and encouraging you and empowering you. Get to places like this and cut off all negativity. It's very important that you not focus on your enemy, that you not focus on negativity, negative report, what people are saying about you. It's important that you not focus on what your enemy is doing. Even if they're doing something good, just forget about them. God tells us in Philippians 4, I believe it's verse 8, he said, think on these things, those things which are good, those things which are praiseworthy, those things which are of a good report, those things which are noble. Think on these things, amen. Fill your mind with positive things, amen. Hallelujah. Get rid of negativity during this season and just focus on the Lord. And listen, when you're praying, when you're reading your word, when you're listening to the word, don't listen with others in mind. Don't listen to try to preach a sermon. Don't listen out of religion, but listen as if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. Listen as you're sitting in the Father's lap. Be in fellowship with God. Be in relationship with God. And let God build you back up. Let God nurture you. Let God love on you so that that word quickens in your spirit and now you feel like you can go on. Amen. So I just want to share that remedy because I know somebody's there and God says, I need you to get back into me. I need you to fasten your eyes on me because fasten your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Listen, those people can't do nothing for you anyway. Those haters, you know, and then your circumstances, don't let them take you under, amen. Put your mind on God, amen, and God's going to bring you through. Pastor, I'm going to let you comment. We have a caller. I'm going to let Pastor Emily comment on that, and then we're going to take this call.
It is just so powerful what you said, and you know, people think sometimes pastors are exempt, but we were with pastors last night, and they were sharing some of the discussion we're having today, the spirit of discouragement. I shared with them how Elijah, the prophet Elijah, became despondent to the place where he's like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. As a matter of fact, kick me up out of here. And God told him, get some rest, get something to eat. get restored because there's work to do. And he went on to, you know, pass his mantle to Elisha. He went on to anoint Jehu, who dealt with Jezebel. And he went on to anoint another king. So we have people who are tied to the kingdom that God wants to use us to advance his kingdom. But if we quit, you know, God can't fulfill his purpose through us. And another thing that you said that's so powerful, you got to have the right people in your life. And sometimes, Pastor, when the people that we thought that would support us are the very ones walking away or the very ones not supporting us, we thought that was, you know, the way things should go. But you said we got to have confidants, somebody who loves you, somebody who cares about you, somebody who doesn't want what they can get from you but cares about you. And we all need that. We all don't want to be used and manipulated. So I just thank God that you shared. We got to stay in our words, stay in prayer, and surround ourselves with the right kinds of people.
Amen. Amen. That is the truth. But we're going to take a call. Amen. Our liberal 141 York Air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Yes, yes. A great show. I'm listening to what you're saying. Even if you don't believe in God and everything, I even if as a good person, as me as a good person, I'm actually talking about both to what I believe in and everything. And I want to tell you, I find it very hard to meet that kind of person, like you said, who will love you for you, who will respect you for you, who will see greatness in you when you see greatness in them. As a man, I'm finding it very hard to meet that kind of woman who just accept that I'm good to her just because I want to be good to her. Feel like I meet a lot of nothing to say to my friends, but a lot of my friends who basically doesn't have any interest or doesn't see the best on the women that are there, cruising or whatever. Those women are running after them like gold, and it's very frustrating as a man if you look at yourself and say, and you know yourself, and you know who you are, and you know what you're worth, and so what you think. That you're looking at this and say, what's the point? What's the point of being with integrity? What's the point of being kind? What's the point of being honest? What's the point of coming to a woman, I'm talking about relationship, and just being real and saying, you know what? I have no problem giving my all to you. I have no problem doing all those things. But I see you running at the guys who won't. I see you running at the guys who give, doesn't care about you. It's very, I can tell as a man, I mean, we don't relate to the context, but as a person of integrity who believes in the greatness of people, who believes in great things, I can see in relationship, I am very disappointed. Very disappointed. Because
go ahead, Pastor.
Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. I hear you. I hear you, Stan. I hear you. And you know, I've had an opportunity to talk to you on several cases, and you come across to me as a great guy. You know, you come across as a great guy. I hear your heart every single time I talk to you, and you deserve a good woman, you know, and I just pray that one day you do meet that woman who can see your value, see you for who you are. One of the questions I have to ask you, you know, is like, who are you, where are you meeting the people that you meet?
I go to social events, I go out, I go to any places. I basically even ask some of my friends, show me the places where I can meet women who love men. Basically, doesn't have that bitterness. Basically, wants to meet a man with character, integrity, honesty, a person who will love them for them, not for them, for really them. A man who could look at them in their eyes and say to them, and I've no problem with that before, to really look at a woman's eyes and say, you know what, I am so lucky to have you in my life. And mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm chuckling a little bit because, you know, I know you're not a believer, I know you're not a Christian, but the thing about it is there are a lot of good women in church, Stan. There are a lot of good women in church. Again, you have some women who are not that serious also, but, you know, there are a lot of single And you don't go to church to find a woman, but the Bible does say he who finds a wife finds a good thing. My husband and I didn't meet in church. You know, God just happened to have the divine providence, divine purpose for us and brought us together. And we had issues because everybody has issues. But I'm hearing you saying that the women that you're interested in are running after the knuckleheads. You know, they're running after, you know, guys who are not going to treat them like they need to be treated.
And then they come in running back after me or after we got the knucklehead. And as a man, we tell you guys, I'm making a man phone come running after me. You made a choice. And I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, and see, the thing about it is, you know, we're Christians, and the thing about it is what we do, you know, prayer, you know, and when you believe like we believe that the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Bible also says that if we desire anything, if we pray and ask God, that he would give us those things that we pray for, that we ask for, as long as, you know, they're according to his will. And it's God's will that a man find a wife if he has a desire to find a wife. So these are things that help us with our walk, you know, to a lot of people. And it may sound like craziness, but it really...
No, it doesn't sound like craziness to me. I just truly believe what you're saying. But the question I want to ask you guys is, how do you keep being good people and keep being who you are in spite of people not having the standard that you have? How do you keep on going to that way, even though the rest of the people that you are, that the people that are not giving that standard?
Go ahead, Pastor. You wanna address that?
Yeah, I don't know if he heard the scripture that I read at the outset. Treat people like you want to be treated, but he was simply saying that the results that we get back is not up to us. Our job is to continue to walk in love, walk in respect, walk in integrity and character, regardless of the results. And what I'm hearing, him say is that you can become bitter, can become frustrated, and you can become discouraged. And sometimes he said he finds that where people make choices for darkness instead of light or good, you know, they choose bad over good, or they choose, you know, like I said, a bad guy over a good guy or a bad woman over a good woman. And our culture and our television, our music, so many places you can go to reinforce people being negative, people not being faithful, people not being serious relationships or advancing their lives. And we live in that kind of a world. But, again, you and I celebrate almost 17 years of marriage, and we've had negative moments. We've had...
Congratulations, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. But the point I want to make is that I was not a man of integrity, and I was not a man of character. So God helped me in those instances where things I couldn't do on my own, I would naturally get upset when somebody treated me wrong. And I would naturally hold anger because I come from a family of angry people. And God, he removed a lot of that stuff. So sometimes the spiritual stuff that we can't explain in natural words, it really does work. But, again, just keep at it because when you – we, Pastor, you and I did our share of positive thinking and things of that nature, and we believe – that sometimes when you treat people right, it does come back to you eventually.
Yeah, and let me add to that, too. Before I became a Christian, none of my relationships worked. I mean, it's crazy. I was like, when I got saved, you know, not even when when I became a Christian, I was like, wow, you know, is that all it took? And you know, it's funny because God has a plan and a purpose for our lives to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope in the future. And when we're not walking with him, we're not walking in that plan. And what he tells us, and I didn't know the Bible, didn't want to learn the Bible, but there's a book in your Bible. I don't know if you have a Bible, but Ezekiel 36:26, God talks about the fact that he will give us a new heart. And he would give us a new spirit, and he would give us, allow us to follow his commands, you know, which is to just to love him with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's basically it. You know, the greatest commandments that we have is to love the Lord and just to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So that's how we do it, Stan, that there was something supernatural that happened on the inside of us when we said yes to God through Jesus. And like you said, it's hard to explain in the natural because it is supernatural and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But the truth of the matter is that something happened to us where we became these new creations that the Bible talks about, that we're no longer the old people that we were, but God has given us some power. He's given us power to make it through the tough times in life. He's given us power to keep being nice, even though people are not always nice in response. And he's given us favor to find each other. For my husband and I, we have favor, you know, the goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. So, you know, if we could explain it in the natural, we would say, you just keep doing, like Pastor Emily said, keep doing the right thing. And as he talked, Pastor Emily talked about karma, you know, if you give out good, good will come back to you. There's a scripture that says you reap what you sow. So even as you sow goodness, you will reap goodness. Amen. And we've lost Stan. But that's the bottom line, that we believe this thing by faith, and by faith God meets us every step of the way. So I thank that caller for calling in. That was a very good question he presented. And Stan, we don't know if you're still listening, but we thank you for calling in with your questions. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. I guess Dan might say they're trying to convince me to be a Christian. That's like Paul, Pastor, with Paul. Who was that that told Paul, you almost convinced me to be a Christian?
King Agrippa, one of those kings, Festus or one of the ones in the book of Acts.
After hearing that, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd sign up. I said, Lord, what must I do to be a Christian? Because this is a good life. This is a good life. I mean, I love it. I love it. I love being a Christian. Like I was telling Stan, before I became a Christian, none of my relationships worked. Every relationship was horrible. But now that I'm walking with God, things are so much better.
And that's why, Pastor, our testimony, because a lot of people will be not cynical but almost critical and say, well, people in the church are getting divorced as well. And I strongly believe that if you're applying this word to your life, if you're not just allowing it to be information but application, God says these 66 books won't come back void. So I'm just leaning on the side of God saying that his word will work and faith will work. And believing and trusting God and living according to the scriptures will work. So if Stan is still listening or if he listened to the archive, we are trying to persuade him to become a Christian because not just this life and the life thereafter. So we do believe in what we're preaching and teaching, and I'm glad we can accredit our marriage success to the word of God.
Amen. That's so important what you just said. Pastor Emily, listen, there was another hand raised. Hey, there you are. Amen. We're going to put you on the air. That's so important what you said, Pastor Emily. It's not just about this life. We have to remember that it's not just about this life. You know, this is nothing compared to what we're going to have in the everlasting. Amen. So it's also about the life everlasting, amen, that we have with Jesus after we leave this earth. Area code 908, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Yeah, peace and blessings, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony. This is Emil Brown, and I just wanted to mention something in terms of the caller that this spoke. And I wanted to say that a lot of times we look to meet, and I know for one, because I had this past experience, and that's why it's very careful who you associate yourself around, and you got to be very careful in terms of who you meet, because they may not necessarily have your best interest, whether it be Christianity or whatever. You got to watch their ways and the way that they conduct themselves, because I didn't always have the right person in my corner, I've dealt with women, and I'm not saying all women, because there's beautiful black sisters out there. I just wanted to, such as my wife, but I just wanted to say that if they can't endure, they can't, you know, build with you and work on moving forward or constantly reminding you, or they have you into believing that you're their own, but yet and still they're messing around with somebody else, or they're putting on a front portraying a certain image, then they're really not for you. And the other thing is this, you know, Christianity is a good thing. I didn't grow up in church. You know, I ended up learning along my late teenage years, and even up to this point, I'm 42 years old. You know, it's still a gradual process in this Christian walk, and sometimes I find myself backsliding, sometimes I find myself slipping, but it's very careful that we surround ourselves around positivity, you know, Christians that are not just talking the talk, but walking the walk also. Very careful that we, you know, we associate ourselves around positivity, because bad influences lead you to doing bad things, or at least thinking of them. And we got to make choices, because some of these girls out here, or rather women, notice I said girls, they don't have their priorities together. They are dealing with somebody because of what they got. Their priorities are not together. They won't get involved with a brother that's taking a bus or that's working honest, just trying to make it, you know, to help support his family. They'd rather be with somebody because of what they got. And that, to me, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
They're losing the whole aspect of what it is to be with someone. It should be looking to build and carry yourself as a young lady and respectful and to be a woman, but not degrading yourself. So we got to be careful how we, you know, men, and I've had this problem before in the past. That's why I'm able to talk about it. In my past.
Yes. Yeah, that's powerful right there. You said some powerful stuff right there. One thing that you said, and I know Sarah believes that, is that if she doesn't value you for the person that you are, she's she's not worth your time. You need to move on, you know, and so often we chase after the very ones, that really don't have good intentions towards us. And we, I don't know where that comes from, where we find ourselves in relationships with people who are no good for us. You know, that's just the bottom line. As women, and this is something that's typical of women, that we always go after the bozo instead of the hero. You know, the man that really will treasure us and honor us as the Jews that we are. So that's a very, very good point. Another thing you said is that we need to surround ourselves with positive people. And you said you didn't even know that was scripture, but you said that if you're around people that with bad character, then you're gonna find yourself duplicating their character, being like them.
Exactly.
There's a scripture that says, yeah. There's a scripture Paul tells us not to be unequally yoked. He says because bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. So you have to be very careful of who you're hanging out with. So just some powerful powerful insight into the topic. Yeah, so what else is on your heart? Like, that was good. I know that you got something else you want to say about
it. I just wanted to say, and I'm going to be very brief, that I'm grateful even in this life that so much is going on. I'm never too big that I can't say that I don't need prayer, because prayer does change these things, and I know where I've been, and I'm still, you know, still striving to get there, but, you know, it's a day-to-day walk, and as the caller said before, a lot of times you can't just get caught up into, because people say they this and that. You got to watch the way they conduct themselves and what they do, because what they do behind is what really God is looking at. And Christianity is not a bad thing at all. It's not a bad thing. It's disassociating yourself away from those that are negative, that have, devil using them. And not only that, you're also used to help those who are lost. So it's a good thing. Because they need,
yeah.
Right now, a lot of people that's lost, and I was lost at one point too, but we need to look at those who are doing, that are trying to pull us into, pour into our hearts. God, we need to see what God, you know what I'm saying, we need to see God into people that are doing good things, such as yourself, you and Pastor Anthony. We need to see it more and more. It's very important. And we need to allow, you know, go to God in prayer and ask him to not only guide us and direct us, but bring that person to us. Because a lot of times when you're doing the right thing, you're taking care of business, eventually that right person will come to you.
Yeah.
But you have to be very careful in terms of who you associate yourself with, bottom line. Because some of us put on a Jekyll and Hyde, you know, we are nice in the beginning, but we're terrible when later on. So we got to be very careful in terms of our choices, in terms of the decisions that we make. But they have to be done through God, you know, and I'm learning that big time. I know. I've been there. I've been hurt. I've hurt in a lot of sisters. I've had anger in me, a lot of things that, because I was never told how to respect a woman, you know. I've done it, you know, recently, and I don't feel proud of it, you know. That's why I'm always willing to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
I know God has got me here for a reason.
Yeah, He does have you here for a reason, brother. He has you here for a reason, and God's going to use you.
Because I've cried and I've heard it. I've cried, and I ask, you know, I always ask to repent for my sins. You know, I'm not ashamed to yell at, you know, her for Daniela, for any, you know, reason. I've heard it for her, you know, from time to time. But at the same time, since the game, she's been by my side even before I even graduated from college. So, I mean, it's very important that you be with someone who's going to be there for you, not based on what you can contribute, what you can give. All of that falls into place.
Yeah.
Somebody
got
to be the prayer. Like you said, somebody got to be praying, and we have to be strong, and we have to accept things, accept the trials and tribulations that we've been dealing with as tests. It's very important. All of that ties in together.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to say this, too. You know, a lot of the times when we lash out at people that we love, it's because we're hurting on the inside.
Right.
And what you have to do is you have to give that to God. And a lot of people say, well, how can I give that to God? You know, I'm doing the best that I can. And the reason how we give God what's on the inside of us is by giving God what's really hurting our heart. See, you got to give God, and then you've given God your heart. But what does that mean? When the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your might, your soul, with everything that's in you, that means that you open up your heart and you trust God and you allow God to really take over your heart. And I see that happening with you, that you're becoming more and more vulnerable to the Spirit of God. And with men, that's not easy because men don't want to be vulnerable. You know, men.
Right,
but what I found, I wrote the book, The Cry of a Woman's Heart. But what I have found is that men, like Michael Bazin said, men cry in the dark. Men cry
That's
in
right.
the dark too.
Right.
So men hurt too, in other words. So what
they
you
do.
Have
they
to
have
do
a way of showing it.
Yeah, is let God have your heart. And we give God our hearts by seeking after him. You know, what you're doing now, listening to a spiritual broadcast, praying, you know, reading your Bible, going to church and listening to the word, letting that word come in. All of these are ways that we give God our heart. And then making up your mind to believe the word and to trust God. That word is going to take place in your life. And what you'll find out is that your behavior will change. You'll find that you're not impatient. You'll find that you're not yelling. And ask God to take away. One thing that we don't do that I believe we should do is ask God to take away the pain. If you ask God in your prayer time, you know, to ask God, take away whatever's hurting me that's making me lash out. And God will take that thing away from you. You will wake up one day and there won't be any more pain, but you'll find your heart flooded over with joy. See, one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to have that pain from your past anymore. You're going to have the joy of the Lord flooding through your heart, and things are going to click into place for you and Sister Daniela, because God's healing both of you to the place where you can walk to a place of power, a place of unity, a place of peace, a place of joy. See, one more thing I'm going to say. In Galatians, when you read your Bible, read Galatians 5, start with like verse 18 and read on through to the to 18 to 23, it talks about the work of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And what you'll see there is that God, because you have the Holy Spirit now, because you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and we think we have to do so much, but there, the Holy Spirit has been sent into your life to do a job. He, the Holy Spirit, has a job to do in your life. So the Holy Spirit now has the job of bringing forth fruit, and the fruit is joy, peace, kindness, patience, love, self-control, and long-suffering. I mean, self-control and which one did I miss, Pastor? Joy, peace, faith. Self-control and faith. So the Holy Spirit's going to bring forth this fruit, and it's already happening. You probably can see yourself changing already.
I think it's a gradual process, and I don't doubt it, because God is wonderful. I mean, I used to be to the point where I wouldn't even listen to, you know, whether it be gospel music or listen to preachers, because I got a notion from negative people. They gave me the wrong outlook of how, you know, church supposed to be and how we supposed to be, you know, looked over by the shepherd, so to speak. But again, once I found out myself, I still had to, you know, get into reading the Bible, because there's so much more, you know, areas of my life that I've been trying to work on.
Yeah, Pastor Anthony.
Yeah, he said so much, and I know, you know, some men, as Brother Miller said, when you work hard, you was a womanizer, now you're trying to be faithful to one woman, or you're trying to change, like you said, your spirit of anger, and trying to be nicer, trying to be more understanding, try to express and articulate your thoughts. And
that's
like
right.
He said, not in his case, but when a brother's taken advantage of like that, and she still goes after the bad boy or the knucklehead or try to take advantage, thinking he's a weak man, I've seen some men become very bitter, very bitter, even to the place where they put their hands on their ladies. And we never want that to happen. But
definitely not.
A lot of frustrated men are out here, a lot of brothers. Like he just said, they don't want to hear from any preacher, any pastor, because there's such a stigma on pastors and preachers and churches. So even before I got into the church, I believed some of those lies that the church is taking the money and sleeping with the women and doing different things. So it
That's
took
right.
me up until 30 years of age to even go to a church and hand my life over to God. So but me and my boys, me and my friends growing up in Newark, we did have a certain idea about the church that we did not like. So a lot of that is real, but I'm glad he found God for himself. I'm glad, you know, he got his degree and he goes to his own Bible to hear from God directly. So he's just in a good place searching for the things of God. And Pastor, on Wednesday I taught about the 7 steps to deliverance. I just want to go over these very quickly. Do I have time?
Yes.
Amen.
Just listen to these, and it's those of you listening, I know people are listening all around the country. Just listen to these 7 steps to deliverance. We want not just to get delivered, but to stay delivered. And number one, we got to confess our faith in Christ and his sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus died for us, the atonement of his death. That's why we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we say so, meaning that restoration has taken place. We have been restored back to God, and we never can't forget what Christ did on Calvary for us. So number one, step to deliverance is to remember Christ and his sacrifice for you. Number two, you must repent of all of your rebellion and sins. In other words, you must repent of all of your rebellion and sins. That's step number two. Lord, I'm sorry. I apologize for what I did. Forgive me for my sins, known and unknown, my rebellious disobedient attitude. I know what to do. I knew what to do, and I still did wrong. So we got to ask God's forgiveness for that rebellion. Number three, we got to claim God's forgiveness for our sins. In other words, once you repent, claim it. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Lord, I believe that I am forgiven. We're talking about how you get delivered and stay delivered. Number four goes on to say, we must forgive everybody that harmed or wronged us, current or in the past, even in the future. We must forgive everybody who harmed or wronged us. My wife sometimes ministered to a lot of women that have been violated as children, and some of them are even senior citizens today that have never gotten over that offense. And we have the Spirit of God to break that yoke that tries to destroy us. So that's number four. We must forgive. It is a supernatural thing. Again, we can't explain everything in our Bible, but if Jesus and God tells us to forgive, that means we have the ability to do it. Number five, we must renounce all contact with anything of the occult or satanic nature. You and I must renounce all contact with anything of the occult or satanic nature. I went so to the extreme where I pledged a fraternity in college and I made oaths and swore to certain things, and I just needed, you know, God to forgive me. If I swore to something I shouldn't have swore to, I said, God, I'm your man now. Hallelujah. I'm your man now. And I just need to do what you want me to do. So it's just so powerful that when we renounce things and get rid of things, sometimes we got artifacts and things that we got traveling to third world countries, and God's saying, get that thing out of your house, or something from an ex-girlfriend, an ex-husband, ex-boyfriend, and God is saying, it's time for that to go. So we got to denounce, if we was into the occult, Ouija boards and calling a psychic and, you know, satanic worship, any of that thing, we got to renounce it. Number six, we got to pray. This is very important. This is number six, the sixth step to being delivered. We got to pray to be released from every curse. Pray to God to be released from every curse. And people might say, I'm not cursed, Pastor. I don't feel as though I'm under a curse. Sometimes poverty is a curse. Sometimes the fact that we're still angry, that's a curse. Sometimes in our family, there was a stronghold, a familiar spirit that has been passed down to us today, and that can be a curse that somebody opened the door to in our families, and God is saying, pray to be released from that thing. And number seven, once you do those first six steps, believe and receive your deliverance. That is so key. Now, after you did all those six previous steps, you must believe and receive that you are delivered. And I know some people who are in NA, they're in AA, seven step, 12 steps. And a lot of it is to do with the mindset, how they can beat crack addiction and different addictions with alcoholism. But until they believe, until they walk by faith, I told the brother the other day, I believe in you, God believes in you, but you have to believe in you.
That's right.
And I see this brother trying to get his life together. He's going to church faithfully. He's going to NA faithfully. He is really breaking this addiction, but he must believe in himself. And that's any form of deliverance. If you're addicted to anything, if anything has a stronghold or masters your life, if you do these six, seven steps that I just gave you, trust me, you will be delivered.
Amen.
Pastor,
are you there?
Amen. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Those are some powerful steps. We have to realize that. And it's good to break it down into those steps, you know, because the bottom line is we need Jesus. You know, we could get there are other things. We believe in counseling and AA You know, those things are definitely required. And if you're in AA or NA, keep going. But grab a hold of Jesus and run with it and take those 7 steps that Pastor talked about in any area of your life. Even, Brother Mel, I know you're still with us. Even you, just take those 7 steps and begin to work through them and get closer. Just continue to develop your relationship with God. Powerful, Pastor Anthony. Powerful, powerful. So stay with us, Brother Mel. Amen. We have another hour, amen, about 55 minutes on the air, and the lines are open. This is an open forum call-in show. You can call in and talk to us about whatever's on your heart or even what Pastor Anthony just said, 646-652-4832. Do you feel like you need to be delivered? And do you find that these steps will be helpful to you? Are you willing to put forth the work even to get delivered from whatever that thing is that tries to have a stronghold in your life? Call in 646-652-4832 and press 1, and we will put you on the air because we want to hear from you. Amen. I want to just thank God for all of you who call in on a regular basis. I want to thank God for our friend, Apostle Amica, amen, and the fact that he thinks it not robbery to come and bless us and call in and talk to us when he's available. I know he's a very busy man, but we thank God for him, amen, and for him taking the time out to be with us. And for all of you who listen and tell other people, we're up to almost, we have so many listeners. I think on a regular we have about 600 listeners that go back and listen to the archives, and that's amazing because when we started, we only had like 5 or 6 people that would click on the archives. So we thank God that there's a, you know, a desire for this show, there's a demand for this show, and that you all are helping us to make it possible. Amen. Hallelujah. But Pastor Emily, those 7 steps are so powerful, and I just thank God that you, you know, took the time to guide us through them. Without going into details, just reiterate just the 7. Just run through the list real quick, 1 through 7.
Yeah, so powerful. You know, our faith in Jesus Christ, that's what you just simply said. That's where it all starts. You know, he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. But you and I, you know, our ministry, our church, one thing we strongly believe, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man or woman be in Christ. Sometimes that's a big if, and sometimes we wonder if people in church are in Christ. But it says, if any man be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things are gone away. Behold, all things have become new. And these 7 steps help you to allow things to become new. As you said, you know, we had a blended family. We both was married before. Now this relationship works because we did a lot of what's required in these 7 steps. First, we trusted God, because the Bible says, you know, it's a foolish man who don't build his house or his marriage on the word of God. And you and I had the opportunity to teach married couples. We taught blended family. We've done marriage seminars and workshops. So we have an extensive library on marriage. And a lot of things that we've learned over the years, we've applied and we've seen them work. So number one, we got to confess in Christ and build our marriages, build our relationships, build your business on the word of God. Number two, we all, at one time or another, Pastor, have been disobedient. We know what to do and we don't do it. So we got to repent of that, a rebellious spirit, and repent of our sins, all that have fallen short of the glory of God. To claim God's forgiveness is another thing. Pastor Rebecca, you ministered to a lot of women, and even through your books, a lot of people don't feel forgiven.
Yeah.
That was one of my struggles. I did some things in the world that I'm still not proud of, but God forgave me for that stuff. So if he's forgiven me, why should I hold on to it? Why should we hold on to things that God has forgiven us for? And a lot of people, some things have happened in their lives, and they haven't forgiven themselves, but God has forgiven them. And that's why we got to remember that God forgave us, and we ought to forgive ourselves and forgive others. The next one
forgive people that hurt us or harmed us. That's not easy. That's why we go to church. That's why we sit up under a word. That's why we pray, because it took me a long time to forgive my father. I was so angry, and I had seven brothers and sisters, and we all was angry because of what Dad did. You know, that anger is still on many of my family members because they haven't found the ability or capacity to forgive. I just thank God he gave it to me so I can move on with my life. And renouncing things, many of us have done things. We got to say, you know, I put that down now. I lay that down now. I don't want that to be a part of my life. So we got to renounce it, turn from it, and just move on. If you've been calling a psychic, just stop doing it, because you have the word of God now. Pray. We got to keep praying that God keep releasing us from curses. People say, well, how can Christians be cursed? You're not cursed, but you can live like you're under a curse.
Oh.
I need to say that again. Many Christians know you cannot be cursed, know you can be not demon-possessed and obsessed, but you can act like you're demon-possessed, and you can act like you're under a curse. So it's the same thing. If the results are there, pray for God to release you from even acting like you're under a curse. And then finally, believe and receive it. Amen?
Yeah, wow, wow. That's powerful. And, you know, I want to hit on that forgiveness piece. Brother Mel, did you have any comments regarding what Pastor Emily just broke down?
I thought he summed it up. I mean, because that's areas that I need to work on. Some of them I still find myself under, and I'm going to be very honest, and it's something that I need to work on because, again, you know, I was here, you know, God knew what I was dealing with, and he had his arms out for me, and he asked me to just be honest and come to him. And that's what I'm striving to do, and I'm trying to be an example for someone else, I'm trying to be a testimony for someone else. I'm not trying to take his glory. I can't take his glory. And it's very fundamental. Those seven essential things that he mentioned are very fundamental and essential for my life and other
mm-hmm.
believers. Very, very
yeah.
essential. I think he summed it up.
Yeah, that's
well,
good.
Well, I believe
yeah.
he summed it up. I believe he summed it up. Because thinking is like if, but believing is more the word.
Yeah.
Understanding
yeah.
on it and receiving it.
Yeah. If you can believe, you can receive everything that God has for you. You know, it's funny because the Lord asked me recently, he said, what do you believe? You know, and that's something that's so simple. Even when I was talking about the times when I was going through recently, because we all go through. Nobody has arrived. Even Paul said, I have not attained these things which I'm talking to you about. He said, what I'm telling you to do, he said, I haven't even attained it. He said, but yet I press, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the things which are before me. He said, I press to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended by Christ Jesus. In other words, Christ has apprehended me. Christ grabbed a hold of me. See, Christ grabbed a hold of us. It was not our idea to get saved. I wasn't sitting on the bar stool one day and said, you know what, I think I'll get saved today. No, it didn't happen like that. God came into my life, like you said,
mm-hmm.
Brother Mel. He had his arms open, but the Holy Spirit picked me up and said, no, girl, you getting saved. God kind of apprehended me. He apprehended me and took a hold of me because he knew that I was on the fast path to hell, a path to destruction, and God knew he had a better life for me, so he apprehended me. I got saved, and now I'm going to take charge and apprehend the blessings for which I have been apprehended. I'm going to apprehend the purpose for which I have been apprehended, and I am going to apprehend the promise for which I have been apprehended. See, we have to get mad. We have to get to the point where we're like, you know, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, you know, because the gates of hell are trying to prevail against the kingdom of God. The gates of hell want to come and annihilate your purpose. And you
have
to get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm not living defeated anymore. I'm not living sad and mad that anymore. Those days are over. I'm taking possession of the promise of a better life, of a better life, because that's what God has promised me,
exactly.
That I will have new life, that I will have a blessed life through Christ, and I'm taking a hold of that life, and I'm not going to take no for an answer. See, I'm not going to allow the devil to steal my joy anymore. I'm not going to allow him to steal my blessings anymore. I want everything that God has for me. See, we got to go back. That's why they talk about I'm going back. I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'm taking back what the devil stole.
This is just a
call. I'm taking back my when we were child, when we were children, we didn't have some of the problems that we had as adults. We didn't have as children. We were free. You know, when you think about those childhood days before you started being mad, before you started being angry, before you started being broken, busted, and disgusted. We had, you know, as children, we were carefree, and we would run and skip and jump and play tops and marbles and jump rope and all of that stuff. And then life started to come in and mess with us and try to mess us up. Amen. And it did mess us up. And so we got to go back and take back that childlike joy, that childlike trust. Amen. When we love the world and we love mommy and we love daddy and the world could that's what God wants to restore for us, that he wants to give us that pure heart. See, children have a pure heart, and God wants to give us that pure heart that we had when we were children, but we're adults now, but we are still children of the Most High God. Amen. So it's time to take back your joy. It's time to take back your peace. It's time to take back your power. You know, you got power, brother. You have power. We have power that God has given us, and we need to take back our power. Amen. And stop letting the devil have power over our lives. I'm gonna take another call. But brother Mel, I just want to say to you, brother, you got power, and I know that you grew up in Newark?
Yes, I did. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey.
Okay, so I know you're no chump.
No, I understand what Pastor Anthony is talking about. I just said I found myself now, but I didn't know myself then. I was lost. Again, you know, this is something that gradually I had to learn as time gone by, but, you know, still more to learn.
Yeah, and I just thank God for you and for your transparency, and you keep seeking God because you God's giving you a voice, amen. He's giving you a voice, and he's going to allow you to reach a lot of people just by your testimony, just by sharing with other people what God is doing in your life. There are brothers who are looking at your life, and they're going to come to you and say, brother, I knew you when, and you're a different person today, and I want to know, how did you get to be so different? I want what you got. So there are a lot of people that are brothers and sisters, men and women, and even your family. There's a lot of your family members that are watching your life. And as you continue to walk into your total deliverance and grow up, because you're a babe in Christ now.
Mm-hmm.
So as you grow up into the things of the Lord, just like you went to school and you had to learn about different book knowledge, now you're learning spiritual knowledge. And as you learn spiritual and become a spiritual giant, which is where God is taking you, you will be able to expound the scriptures and share with others that come to you and that cross your path, and let them know how they too can be free. Because there's
That's right.
a scripture that says, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Simon has desired to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail you. And now that you have returned, he said, go back and strengthen your brethren. Go back and strengthen your brothers, strengthen your sisters. And that's the call that every Christian has, that we don't just get, like you said, it's not just about you, but it's about who God's going to use you to go and tell about Jesus, so that they too can be saved and they too can be free.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. Amen. I don't know if your wife, your lovely wife, had anything that she wanted to say. Well,
she's kind of quiet. She's very humble. I think what it is with her is sometimes she be one to say, it's like when she's talking to me, she has a gift of words. She can sit here and hold a conversation all day long, but sometimes she's still nervous, and that's just like any speaker, because in communications in college, I used to be afraid to speak in front of people. I used to be afraid to speak in front of people when I was in plays in school, so I had to develop that, and sometimes you say I'm talking too much, you know, I'm talking, but it's all on the behalf of both of us, because we are one. And
amen.
I feel her pain, and she feels my pain, and I will forever represent her as long as I live, as long as I have breath, you know, in my lungs, as long as I'm here, I'll forever represent her in a good way, in a positive light, because I do try to find ways to correct myself. And again, everything is for God's glory, and again, it's about, you know, reaching back and like you said, sharing with others, because that's what we're to do, that's our responsibility, and so
the Lord. Yeah, and I want to share this. The Lord is just telling me to share this with you. The Bible tells the man to live with his wife in full understanding, because she is the weaker vessel. She's the weaker vessel, the weaker sex. Not that she's weaker in strength, but even though some men are sensitive, the woman is emotional and way more sensitive than the man, and we go through differently, you know, we go through differently. So as you're growing, even in your marriage, and for all the men out there that are listening that have wives, even though your wife may be, she may appear to be very strong, just remember that she's still a woman. I don't care if she's a spiritual giant. I don't care if she's a babe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
She may be a very strong woman physically, where she might be able to do certain things you might feel for herself. But inside, she's still that little girl. She's still daddy's little girl. She's still
That's
a
right.
woman on the inside. And she has some stuff. I'm going to just share with the men on behalf of the women. We have things on the inside of us that we don't even understand, and we have a vulnerability inside of us that we are just so afraid to sometimes to let out what's really on the inside, because we've been hurt as women, and we don't want to be hurt any further. So even for us to trust our husbands is hard. You know, for us to trust our husbands with what's really going on the inside. So I just exhort each husband out there, no matter who you're married to. She might be a preacher, evangelist, apostle. She might be a woman just trying to find her way, just trying to find her way. But whoever you're married to, if you love her for who she is, if you love her for her potential, and just love on her and not judge her and not try to make her over or not try to
remind her of her past.
Yeah, bring up her past or get impatient with her, that woman will be the blessing to you that God says that the woman will be, that the wife will be to the husband. So if you just love her to life. That's just love her to life, because she needs that from you. Amen. She needs you to believe in her. She needs you to let go of her past. She needs you to help her to be the best possible person that she can be. And
That's
we don't
right.
do that. We can't do that by telling her what's wrong with her.
That's right.
You have to
That's
do
right.
that by loving her unconditionally. That's what I want to say. Just love her unconditionally and watch her blossom right in front of your eyes. Your wife is a blessing to you, man of God. So watch her blossom in front of your eyes. And for the women, get off of the man's back. You know, sometimes we get on our men and we open our mouths, and our mouths, listen, we have the power of life and death in our mouths,
That's
and women.
Right.
The Bible says a foolish woman will tear her house down with her mouth. And when you start getting on your husband and going off on him, you're disrespecting him, you know. So we have to remember that, you know, that man, the last thing he wants to do is hear your mouth. You know, sometimes we get to the point where we just go on, the neck starts moving, we got our hand on our hip, we don't, you know, let the backbone stick, and we just go on.
You're right, Pastor Rebecca. You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right, because I don't know no marriage that doesn't go through it. But again, as I said before, despite what we've gone through in the 3 years, because we've been homeless, at one point too together, and I still love her, because she never took from me. She never, asked for a lot, and yet she still takes care of home. I mean, her work ethic is out of this world, and it has a lot to do with her, her upbringing. And I still love her despite her past. I mean, I try to empower her because I think, unlike, what's the movie, Tyler Perry and Oprah Winfrey got
together?
You know which one, where the girl was abused by her stepfather?
Yeah.
The one that died, she died in real life, but the story was a fictional character based on her life, and that's what made her become an author later. But anyway, she puts me in the monitor, but she has great potential. Like I said, she has a gift of gab, could cook everything. And so, I try very hard to make it up with her. It's not always about finances and everything. It's about how we pull together.
Amen.
I empower her, right? Because she may be that next great author.
That's right.
Unlike yourself.
Amen. You keep on loving her. And we just thank you so much for calling in and being a part of the show today. Thank you so much, Brother Mel, Sister Daniela. Thank you guys for calling in. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, we had another caller. Amen. We're going to take this caller. Area code 908. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you today, my sister?
I'm fine. My name is Sister Veronica, and I like what you said about the encouragement of the wife supposed to take care of, the husband and stuff. But sometimes
yeah.
It's like, it's hard to make us to not get on their back. They cannot be on our backs, too, because it's hard to be nagging on us because they hurt our feelings as well. So I have a question on that one. Make sure you do.
Yeah, you don't retaliate. If he's yelling at you and coming down on you and like you said, hurting your feelings, the natural thing to do is to lash back, and then you have an all-in-out fight. You're yelling at him, telling him off, he's telling you off, you're both saying hurtful things. And the thing about words, I said earlier, Sister Veronica, the thing about words is that you can't take them back. They're very harmful, and you can't take them back. So you begin to tear down anything that you built up as you say those harmful words and speak them into your spouse, your husband, and he speaks those words into you. You're tearing down your relationship. You're tearing down your marriage. Are you married?
Yes.
You're tearing down your marriage. And the thing about it is once those words are out, you can think about this. I'm hearing you because it sounds like to me there have been a lot of hurtful words spoken to you by your husband, and in return you've spoken a lot of hurtful words to him. And what's happening is those words now are etched in your memory, see? You haven't forgotten some of the stuff that he said to you and some of the stuff that he said about you, because that's the power of words. They leave a lasting imprint, and it's hard to take back stuff once you say it out of your mouth. When my husband and I first got married, we used to fight a lot, verbally fighting. And some I used to try to push him around physically because he wouldn't hit me. So until one day I came to my senses. But that was because I saw my parents fight. And one thing we do is we want to repeat what we saw our parents do. But the thing about those words, I used to tell him when I came to my senses and I got into the word of the Lord and the Lord began to deal with me about my words and the things that I say and how I treat my husband and how I disrespect my husband when I start telling him off and telling him he's no good, you're no good for nothing, get out, I don't need you, I could do God by myself, you're nothing, you know, you look at you, you know, you're just like, you know, it just start to, you're just like every other no good Negro out there. And we begin to say these words that become self-fulfilling prophecies, because the Bible says that we will have what we say. So what I started doing with my husband is I started, instead of telling him how bad he was, instead of complaining about how bad he was, I started calling him something that I still call him today, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. And you know, I began to speak this over his life, and I would say, my wonderful husband, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. I began to speak those things that were not as though they were. Like, in other words, it wasn't true. He wasn't a wonderful husband. He was mean. He was ornery. He was temperamental. He was cold. You know, he said things that hurt me. He was not a wonderful husband, but I realized that my going back at him and lashing out at him wasn't helping anything. I was going for divorce. We were headed for divorce court. And divorce was not an option for us because we're Christians. We got married under the Lord. We vowed to death do us part. So since I wasn't going to kill him and he wasn't going to kill me, because that would be another sin, we had to learn how to get together. You know, I said to myself, I'm going to be married forever is what I said. I'm going to be married forever. Divorce is not an option, but I'm not going to be miserable and married. I am not going to be married just to say I'm still here. We're still together. No, we're going to be happy. We're going to get along, you know. So I made up my mind, and I started changing. And sometimes the stronger vessel has to be the one to make the necessary changes, to make the hard changes. In other words, if you know he's not going to change, or for the men out there, if you know she's not going to change, you go ahead and you start changing, and you watch your spouse and your kids, even with your kids. They work with my kids because we had two sons. I had a daughter. He had two boys, and then we had a daughter together. So we had a blended family. So even with the kids, things started to come into order. So I changed. I made a lot of hard changes. I shut my mouth, even though he would still say hurtful things to me, even though sometimes he was still cold. I shut my mouth. I started smiling more. And I didn't retaliate. I became gentle. I became humble because I had issues. You know, the bottom line is we all have issues. You have issues. Your husband has issues. Okay, so deal with your issues and let God deal with your husband.
That's true.
And I don't know if Pastor Emmy has anything to add to that.
I'm so glad you said that because, you know, I heard a series a long time ago early in our marriage, Will the Real Enemy Stand Up? And one of the things that we do as people sometimes, and Brother Miller, even this call, I'm so blessed by what they're sharing today. I went through a lot, and I was taking out that displaced anger sometimes on my wife, sometimes on things that didn't work in my life. We lash out sometimes at the people that are closest to us. And as you said, Pastor, sometimes we got to deal with our issues and our anger and what's going on with us. And two, sometimes we do have to be the bigger person and say, you know what, I'm going to live what the Bible says. A soft answer turns away wrath. If somebody's arguing and they irate and they're screaming at the top of their lungs and you just softly or kindly respond, the enemy doesn't want that kind of response. He wants a heated, drag-out argument. But the Bible is always right. A soft answer turns away wrath. And Amos 3:3, how could two walk together unless they agree? You got to get to the place where you're walking together in agreement. So the Bible has so many scriptures that talk to us married folk, and the Bible is going to always be right. So I thank God, yeah. Pastor, I agree with that advice that you gave Sister Veronica.
And, you know, one thing else for the married couples, we have to remember, why did you get married? You know, we have to remember why we married that person in the first place. In other words, go back to the beginning when you first fell in love. I don't know who it was, his curly hair or his big brown eyes or maybe his muscles. I don't know what it was. Maybe the way he looked at you, maybe the way his intellect. I don't know what it was that made you fall in love with you, made you fall in love with him. But pick that thing and look at that thing and begin to look at him through those eyes of love that you looked at him. I know a lot has happened in between, but begin to look at him again as that hero that came into your life that you fell in love with, you know, not Bluto, but Popeye. You know, we start looking at our husbands like Bluto after a while when we first saw them as Popeye, you know. And, you know, Popeye, you know, so start looking at him again, you know, as your hero, as that man that you became so infatuated with. Because what happens with marriage is as soon as we say, I do, the mask comes off. And you begin to see the real person that you were dating. You didn't even know that his feet stank until you married them. You know, you didn't even know that he left the toilet seat up. You know, these are things that start to aggravate you all of a sudden. He did not even know that wasn't your real hair or your real eyes or you know, some things that we hide, in other words, we hide while we're dating, and then we get married, and now you're stuck with this person, and you didn't even see the whole package. You didn't see what was really behind curtain number one. You know, so you ended up marrying somebody who you thought was somebody else, and now you end up married to, you see who you're really married to, but you said, I do. But there was something about that person that you love, that you really love, and that's what we got to hold on to. What was it about this person that really struck a chord in me? In other words, my husband and I, we should sit in the car, and we would talk for hours. I mean, we would just talk. And I loved his intellect and his ability to communicate, and that was something that I held on to, and I loved his big brown eyes. So I started to pick out the good and start closing my eyes to the bad, you know. And those are, and I hope this is helping you. I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
You actually stay in the right point, because sometimes it's like really difficult, because sometimes you just have to encourage your own self and say, you know what, I can do it, because it says in the Word that all things that is possible with God. So
yes,
that's why I always do. I always encourage him, and I always like say encourage words to him. As an advice to him.
Amen. Yeah. And keep loving him. Keep loving. You know, and that's, you know, I tell people, you know, you don't have any abuse in your relationship, right? I mean,
no,
nobody's abuse. Yeah. So you can make it. You know, keep loving him. Keep loving him unconditionally. Be his girlfriend. Girl, that's your husband. Go ahead and rock his world, you know. Go ahead and, you know, you got, so stop going to bed with a headache. I don't know if you're doing that, but sometimes we got a headache when it's time to go to bed. And, you know, put on some negligees, put on some music, not gospel music, and you know, and be his girlfriend. You know, sometimes we're so busy being the wife that we forget to be the girlfriend. And he wants his girlfriend back, and you want your boyfriend back. Those days when you didn't have a care in the world, when you have to worry about the bills or the kids or the or money or any of that stuff, be his girlfriend and watch God. You know, be his girlfriend. Be the woman of God. Be his good thing. You know, you're his good thing. Go ahead and be that good thing, girl. You know how to do it. You know, we get so spiritual sometimes. We act like we don't know how to keep our man happy. But you know how to keep your man happy. You know how to keep his, you know, keep him happy. You know, just keep him happy and watch him, love him, and watch him reciprocate. And you will reap what you sow.
That's right.
If you want love and you want romance, go ahead and sow it. You know, go ahead and sow it. You want peace, go ahead and sow some peace. You want kindness, go ahead and sow it. The Bible is true. You will always reap what you sow.
I think you should have this subject at least.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, because it's, the theme is, it's good for people that's married, because it will say the person encouraged himself.
Yeah, the married people are on the line today. And I tell you, we're going to take another caller. But I just thank you so much, my sister, for calling in. And listen, we are doing open lines today. And anytime you can just call in if you have a question. We have some marriage materials coming out. We have a book on marriage coming out with some DVD, CD series. So, you know, just look out for that. But we're here. If you have any questions, we're definitely here for you.
All right, thank you very much. Have a good day.
Amen. God bless you. God bless your marriage. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to put this caller on the line. Area code 754. 754, I believe that's our friend Apostle Amica. You're on the air.
God bless us. God bless. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed that wisdom that you shared with us just now, but I've found out about marriages. Don't go into marriage trying to change the person, the next person. Don't go and say, well, I can change her, or I can change him. Because what God will do is use that marriage to change you. I used to tell the Lord, Lord, you see my wife? You see my wife? Lord said, yeah, I see her. He said, well, now I want you to change. Don't let what she say get under your skin and let it irritate you. And then watch what happens. Watch what happens. A lot of times they will keep doing what they've been doing. But what God does is change the way we react to what they're doing.
Wow.
That's the awesomeness of God. Yeah, you just keep doing the same thing. Like you say, you keep leaving the toilet seat up. But he'll change the way you react. My wife and I was at a seminar, a marriage seminar, and there was a couple recently married, they've been married maybe about 2 or 3 years, and they were having knockdown, drag-out fights about toothpaste. One like it, you know, squeezed from the bottom, the other one like it squeezed from the top. And you're sitting here arguing and fussing and carrying on about toothpaste. What is the solution? Go get 2 tubes of toothpaste. This way you have yours, and you do yours like you want. I have mine, and I do it like I want. And we can live happily ever after. So there's a lot of things we're trying to change other people. And marriage is not designed to change other people. It is to change us and to bring out the rich qualities of each other. We're supposed to, through marriage, the Lord wants to build in us and show us our strengths. I'm stronger today. Why? Because of my wife. I'm a better man today because of my wife. And truth be told, I'm a better man. I'm a better saint. I'm a better Christian because of my wife. Because a lot of things my wife has made me to go before the Lord about. And in that, the Lord began to minister and work on Stephen. So I'm not perfect yet, but I'm striving. I'm working towards it. She's standing in the background talking about no. But it's what God is doing. It's what God is doing for me. Don't look at the other person. Look at yourself. Take your attention off your husband. Take your attention off of your wife and look at yourself. Work on you. We grown people. You can't make grown people do nothing. But I can change me. I can't change you. And then a lot of people are going in the marriage trying to change each other. It's not designed for that. God bless you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You could have just kept talking because that's powerful. You know, that is just so powerful. That's wisdom right there. You can't, Pastor Amy, my God.
It's so much, and we're talking about marriage, but what Apostle was saying, if we respond to every area of life that way. You know, sometimes we can't change our coworker or our boss or somebody treating us or mistreating us, but we sure can change the way we respond to it. And that's so powerful what he said, is that when you change and see your response to certain people, how their behavior is towards you, you'll be amazed at the results that you begin to physically see in the natural. And what Apostle was saying is a certain mindset, and we all have to get there. We're all at different stages in this walk with God. And I came from the world into the church, and Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what he said, and we can turn back this hand of divorce and marriage, even in the church, if many people adapt what he just talked about, that kind of mindset.
What may I also add, because Pastor Anthony just reminded me of something I heard earlier. The day I met my wife, her past no longer exists. The day we got married, even though she may share some things, and even now I'm finding out some things, but I cannot hold that against her. We sing the song, I won't go back, I can't go back. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So there is nothing to go back to. There's no past. There's no past. The day you gave your life to Christ, it's a brand new day. You're a new creature. You're a brand new person. So for me to say, I'm going back to the street, what street? What street? Where street? What drug? That never existed in the mind of God. And what we are doing, what we have, the devil has doing to the minds of the Christians, to the saints, is he is holding your past over you. But God says, I have thrown your past in the sea of forgetfulness, and there is no past. As far as God is concerned, you never did that. You never done it. You never was out there. You never was there because he's transformed you into a new person. What does Scripture say? By the renewing of what? Your mind. So you don't even have the old mind no more. I was praising God last night. I was praising God while he was retiring. And I'm just thanking God. I said, man, Lord, I just thank you. I really, really thank you that you delivered me from those things and those vices and those things that I used to do, that you saw fit to deliver me. Man, come on, man. I was bound by all kind of foolishness and doing all kind. Like, I'm like Paul. I was the chiefest. I was the chief sinner. I did everything except sleep with men. My wife, she said, don't tell people you did everything. I've done everything but go to that side of the track. I never did that. But when it comes to women, I did it all. I did it all. When it comes to drugs, I did everything just about, and the drinking and all that street activity and all that stuff. But now, I'm a new creature. And there's nothing for me to go back to. I can't go back to the street because in my life, as far as my life is concerned, as far as God is concerned, and the devil is concerned, it never happened. And I have to remind the devil, that never happened. He's, oh, yeah, you remember, No, it never happened. It never happened because I have to renew my mind because the devil wants to hold you in prison of your own mind, of your past sin. And God says, but I've forgiven you. I make you a new person.
Did we lose Apostle?
Ma'am?
I
think he's still there.
I'm here.
Amen. Wow. I guess you were a little breaking up because I missed that last point that you made.
Okay, I don't know. I'm sitting still here. But like I said, it doesn't exist. Our past in the mind of God does not exist. Once we repent and ask him to forgive us, he's forgiven us, and he said, I will throw your past into the sea of forgiveness, never to bring it up again.
Wow.
So what did you do? What did you do? But God, I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about that because you repented. You asked me to forgive you, and that's watch this. As a husband and as a wife, we have to forgive and forget. I forgive you, but I won't forget.
That again.
You have to forgive and forget. It never happened. The devil's gonna say, but you remember on March 21st, this happened? Yeah, but it never happened. Shut the devil down. The Bible says give no place to the devil. Shut him down. As soon as he starts talking, shut him down. You remember your husband said this to you? Yeah, but shut it down. It never happened because I forgave him. And in forgiving, you must forget. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not just saying, I'm sorry. Forgiveness says, I have forgotten what you have done. That's what forgiveness is.
Wow, that is so powerful. In other words, Apostle Amica, what you're telling us is that when we argue with each other or disagree with each other, because that's really what we should be doing instead of arguing, when we disagree with each other and we're having those conversations, that we do not have the right to bring up past disagreements or things that happened in the past?
No. No. Mm. Especially if you them Christian made up.
Wow.
You kissed in the cup. No, you can't bring that back up. You can't bring that back up because it never happened.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I forgive you. Honey, forgive me. Okay. You forgive me? Yes. All right. It never happened. The slate is white clean. So there's a you're looking at a blackboard. It's not there. Once you erase it, it is no longer there. And what on the blackboard, I don't care how much you wrote on it, once you erase it, it is not there. You can't bring it back.
Wow.
Even on the etch-a-sketch. You make a picture and everything, and you shake that thing, you can't bring it back.
Yeah. And that is so key that we pattern ourselves after Jesus, after God, and say, I forgive you and mean it. You know, we have to, and that's what I want to talk to the married people out there. Apostle Emeka brought up a very good point. You know, we want to be happy with each other. We have to let the past go. And that's the past before we were married. You know, if our spouse has shared their past with us, we can't be sitting there imagining stuff, having that in our mind, and then throwing it back in their face when we have a disagreement. And then things that have happened during our marriage, when we have forgiven and we must forgive, we have to also let it go. Let it go from our memory. We have to forget about it and let it go. Mm-hmm. It's just so important. Mm-hmm. That is powerful, Apostle. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
We really have to do that. We really have to do that. That is true forgiveness.
Wow.
You say, I'm going to forgive you. Baby, I'm sorry. Well, I forgive you, but I won't forget. Then you haven't forgiven me.
It's
that simple. You haven't forgiven me. When you forgive me, you forget it. And like you said, you won't bring it back. The Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the saints. He's always standing before God saying, You remember that he did, you remember this she did, remember where she went? And God said, I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, wow. Yes, go ahead, Apostle.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, it's just, that's the way we have to have that mindset. In our marriage, if you want your marriage to work, if you don't want it to work, then you'll give yourself into the devil, to allow him to bring up accusations all day long.
Wow.
You slept with so-and-so. But that was before me. We were not when I slept with that person. How are you bringing that up?
Yeah.
Are you saying, and then watch this, one more thing, very crucial. I always tell my wife, I don't ever want to say anything that is going to come back to her in her mind. I don't want to say nothing to her that is where she's going to be sitting down thinking, and you, like I said, the devil say, remember your husband called you this? He called you that? He said this about you? And you sit there and be like, yeah. And so restraint and control of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might say something to you, but hey, you forgive it. So it don't, but I don't want things to replay back in her mind. That's why I be careful. I say, even if I have to run outside, don't say nothing else.
Go
do something before I say something that is going to destroy, like you said, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things you said to me that has built up over the years. Now we got this big monster standing here. But where did that monster come from? Those little monsters that came and now they add themselves together, that now they have formed this huge, huge 10-foot monster that is standing there over our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But you told a young lady, have show respect. If they're running off with the mouth, just sit there and be quiet. Pray. The brother said earlier, I heard him say that. The brother said prayer changes things. Well, if you really believe it, then you need to start doing it. Pray for him. Lord, work on my husband. Lord, work on my wife. Lord, you know, and then condition me that what they say don't affect me the way it used to. That's what God wants to bring us to.
That's such wisdom coming from on high. And another thing, you was talking earlier about not bringing up the past. But if it does happen, you said something so powerful, we can't change other people. Only God can change them. So if they do bring up your past or if they bring up something that happened in the past, you can just say to them, baby, I thought we were over that, but since we're not,
mm-hmm.
what can I do to help you to come to a place of peace with this particular issue? How can I help you to release this thing? How can I help you to let it go so that we can move forward? And that's as you reach that certain level of maturity. But if you're not there, then like Apostle said, just pray. Just pray and say, you know what, I'm just going to pray because I don't know why this keeps coming up. So I'm going to pray. I can't control it, but God can help us in this area. Wow. Thank you so much, Apostle. That's just powerful.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Pastor Emily, we have 3 more minutes. I don't know if you have anything that you want to say to wrap up as we go off the air. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's been a powerful segment. As people hear the archives, they're going to be blessed. God has marriage in mind today. A lot of people that have heard today, even on marriage, but even these things you can take and apply to any relationship. You know, except for the, you know, rocking his world part that I put in there, you know, but you can apply this to, you know, any relationship that if you love somebody and care for somebody and care for that relationship, you would do your part to make sure that the relationship works. So, Pastor Emily, I don't know if you had anything before we go off the air on today. I just Apostle Amica, I want you to come and be my guest. You've never really been my guest. You called in, but you just have a wealth of wisdom. So when your schedule permits, I want you to come and be my guest for a couple of hours and sit and share with us your wisdom and help us take some calls so that people can talk to you directly. I would love that anytime you're available, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We'll get together. We'll get together.
Amen. Praise
you
kind of
tell me when and...
I'm sorry. Maybe you could bring us a word. I know the Lord has some stuff in your belly. Maybe you could come and just minister to us for about 40 minutes, 40 minutes, and then we could take some calls. That would be great.
Okay. Okay. Good enough.
Amen.
We can do that.
Amen. Praise God. Pastor Anthony?
Yeah, we're looking forward to having Apostle as our guest. I heard him say, you know, we need to get in touch with him as to when, and we will do that. But I told our church on Wednesday, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But our job is to confess our sins to him. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And that's our part. So don't go down from this broadcast being condemned. We all have fallen short. So just repent and turn. So you're not condemned. You are not judged. So don't have this guilt and weight on you. Live life and praise your God. So that's all I have, Pastor.
Amen. Apostle Amica.
To me, you guys have been a tremendous blessing. And the words that I've heard a prophetess and pastor speak, I pray that your listeners, like you say, even so, go back and listen to the archives and hear the words out of this young man and this young woman that the Lord has put in our lives for such a time as this. It's a wealth of wisdom come out of they watch this. They say more by mistake than a lot of people say on purpose.
That's good. That's good. Thank you.
Some of these profound,
Amen.
Some of these
Thank
profound speakers. No, we got a profound speaker right here. Right here on Blog Talk every Saturday, and invest in this ministry because it's a tremendous blessing. God bless you. God bless.
God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Well, we're out of time. We're not out of words. We just want to thank you all for being with us. Remember our women's conference coming up on the 12th of October, the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th. And we want to congratulate again Apostle Amica for his commissioning service. Amen. He's been an apostle. God made him an apostle. He was birthed that, but God has officially had hands laid on him, and he's been commissioned to the fullness of the office of the apostle. We just thank God for him that this is just not a title he put on himself. Amen. But his peers have recognized that that's who he is. So we thank God for Apostle Stephen Amica. Amen. And we give our regards to his lovely wife on today. God bless you. We know that by every great man, there is a great woman. Amen. So we just thank God for her also, the prophetess that stands by his side. Amen. And we thank God for all of you who tune in on a weekly basis and listen to us as we go down from this place. We invite you to come over to New Creation Christian Ministries. Listen, we are not only doing a whole bunch of good stuff by mistake, but we're doing a whole bunch of good stuff on purpose. Amen. And we pastor great people on purpose. We invite you to come over to New Creation Christian Ministries. If you're looking for a pastor, we would love to pastor you. Amen. To shepherd you into greatness and to spiritual greatness. Amen. Hallelujah. And we invite you to come on over to New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Know that we love you. We bless your soul. And again, thank you to all of you who have been so implemental in my life. Amen. And in pastor's life, we love you. Amen. God bless you. Go down from this place. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And stay prayed up. Amen. Hallelujah.
K-C-S-C.